3, 2, 1. The anniversary of the atomic bombardment of Hiroshima and Nagasaki was marked last week by news stories examining almost every facet of those events. What we didn't see was a look at how the atomic bomb secret was kept from the American people. There's been little comparison and contrast of news media behavior at the end of World War II and media behavior today. During World War II, the government set up a vast operation to pretty much control what we read and heard about the war. One government organization, the Office of War Information, was engaged in publishing information about the war. Another government organization, the Censorship Board, asked for voluntary help from newspapers, magazines, and radio stations in keeping various kinds of military information away from the enemy. And with few exceptions, the system worked. If, for example, a newspaper had a story that it thought might be of value to the enemy, it submitted the story to the board, which then ruled on it. In terms of the atomic bomb, the code simply said there should be no discussion of atomic energy matters, period. News organizations used the system because editors realized that to flout the guidelines was to invite formal imposed censorship. The heart of the code was the understanding that the censorship board would not intentionally mislead the press. The board would not put out propaganda, nor would it try to edit news stories. The Korean War, the U-2 incident, the Bay of Pigs, Vietnam, and Watergate all increased the distrust between the government and the media. In a perfect world, the government wouldn't lie and the press wouldn't distort. In a perfect world, there would be no need for adversary journalism. We've seen what the use of atomic energy can do, and we've taken steps to control it. Let's only hope we don't have to experience a runaway press or a runaway government information program. I'm Larry Burris.